The text for our devotion this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And your fellow redeemed in Christ, early in the movie Fiddler on the Roof, a man asks the local rabbi, "Rabbi, is there a proper blessing for the Tsar?" Being a Jew in some areas of Russia in late 19th century was filled with risk to life and property. Many pogroms, riots directed against Jewish communities, occurred during these decades, leaving Jews fearful, finding little protection from their government. And so the question of a proper blessing for the Tsar was not merely an academic question, but very relevant, impacting the lives of this small Jewish community depicted in the movie. And so what is a proper blessing for the Tsar? Well, the rabbi said, "May God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us." And of course, it's a very clever prayer, perhaps one that many can relate to when it comes to government. As Americans across our country breathe a sigh of relief from incessant political ads on radio, TV, YouTube, phone calls, flyers, although where I live, we're already counting to the Iowa caucus, just 424 days away now. But after all that, we might ask, is there a proper way to pray for our government, or even should we pray for our government? St. Paul's divinely inspired words of our text this morning leave no doubt about for whom we are to pray as children of God. We pray for all men, and specifically, kings and all in authority. Now, it's good to provide a little historical context here for Paul's letter. Do you know who was the emperor of Rome when Paul wrote those words to Pastor Timothy? Well, it was Nero. Paul, in effect, says, "Pray for Nero." Nero, accused of both fratricide and matricide in order to secure his position as emperor, and the one who is credited with the martyrdom of both Saints Peter and Paul, is still considered to be one for whom to pray. It is not about liking or disliking a political or public official. It is not about political sides. It is about vocation and about office. The prayer of the church, used in various forms, includes prayers for all aspects of life, including prayers for our government, and we'll be joining in part of that in just a few minutes here. But in our hymnary, these petitions are included. We say, "Guide and bless all lawful authority, especially our president, the Congress, the governor, and legislators of the state. Give them wisdom and sound judgment, that justice may prevail and wickedness be hindered and punished." And then, as we'll say shortly, "Protect and bless your servants, the President of the United States, the Governor of the State, our judges and magistrates, all in authority. Fit them for their high calling, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." We pray for all men, because God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The work of redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, is not exclusive but inclusive for all. And so in our prayers, we remember to speak up for all, to speak with God about our government and those men and women who govern. Our prayer is for peace, for the punishment of wickedness, for wisdom, not of this world, but of God. Sometimes such prayers prove a challenge to our sinful flesh. Think of the prophet Jonah as he prophesied around Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, the dominant enemy of Jonah's nation, of Jonah's home. Jonah had every reason, humanly speaking, to wish for the destruction of Nineveh and Assyria. In fact, it was because he knew God to be gracious, patient, merciful, and loving that he didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. And when the Assyrians did repent, Jonah was bitter. His desire for deserved payback against Nineveh would not come for now. And to which God finally asked Jonah, "Should I not pity Nineveh?" Should we not desire God to pity our nation, our government, and the authorities throughout this world? Should we not consider the mercy of God for ourselves? Have we received what we deserved from God? Well, not at all. God is gracious and full of pity for us. And how then can we not reflect that same love and mercy toward governments, toward all men? The ups and downs of various political issues and parties, the actions of government, are not unimportant to the Christian, but they are kept in their proper place as we understand the ways of this world and the governing authorities. Those ways are of power and glory, ways directly opposed to those of the church, which lives in weakness and humility, relying on the power of God's word. And so we pray, in itself a quietly subversive action, little understood by the world, despite the fact that it is for the world that we pray. We pray for the benefit of the church, for quiet and peaceable lives, and we pray so that the great sacrifice of Jesus that paid our ransom for the sins of the whole world might be known and believed throughout the world. God grant us lives of prayer for all, in Jesus' name, amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.